Well, today here in the park, we're actually going to wrap up our little series within a series that we've been in for a while. If you've been with us, though, you know that we've been in a larger series for a long, long time called The Bible, A True Story. And so we've been walking through the Bible. We went through the whole Old Testament and then into the New Testament. And as we got to the end of Galatians, I felt like the Lord was wanting me to stop and take some time to focus on the fruit of the Spirit that Paul highlights there in Galatians chapter 5. And so that's what we've been doing over the last 10 weeks in this little series within a series. And the title of this series within a series is called Feeding the Dogs. And it comes from this analogy of two dogs really battling for our lives. There's the dog of the Spirit, and then there's the dog of the flesh. And the dog of the Spirit is desiring to draw us closer to the Lord, to help us grow in the things of Him, while the dog of the flesh is seeking to pull us in the direction of the world, to pull us away from the things of the Lord. And so each week I've been asking the question, which of these dogs are we feeding? Which dog is it that we are feeding? Are we feeding the dog of the Spirit, or are we feeding the dog of the flesh? Because the one that we feed, that's the one that's going to grow. And then the one that we starve, that's the one that's going to weaken. And so obviously God's desire is that we would feed the things of the Spirit so that we can grow in the things of God and become more like Him. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read our scripture through this series one last time. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 25. And so again, if you have your phones, Bibles, whatever, you can follow along. Otherwise, you can sit and listen. We don't have the screen to put it on today, and so you'll have to just kind of focus here. It says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." In other words, let us keep feeding and growing in the things of the Spirit. Now, if you've been with us, you know that each week we've been talking about the importance of our attitude. And I've talked about the fact that the fruit of the Spirit actually reflects our attitude in three different ways. It reflects our attitude towards God, right? That's love, joy, and peace. It reflects our attitude towards other people, patience, kindness, goodness. And then it reflects our attitude towards ourselves, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we've been learning that attitude is one of the key factors in determining the direction of our lives. Because our attitude in the midst of life will actually determine the kind of fruit that we produce, either good fruit that is uplifting and life-giving, or bad fruit that pulls us and those around us down and away from the Lord. And as we've looked at each of these attitudes, we've then taken some time to look at the fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against that specific deadly attitude. And so as we've been walking through these deadly attitudes, let me share with you the last 10 weeks where we started. We started with the attitude of the egotist. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against that attitude is love. Next, we talked about the attitude of the victim. And the fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against that attitude is joy, choosing not to be the victim, choosing joy over the victim mentality. And then the next attitude we talked about was the attitude of the fighter. And the fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against that attitude was peace. Next was the attitude of the perfectionist. And the fruit of the Spirit that helped us come against that attitude is patience. The attitude of the user came next. And the fruit of the Spirit that helped us come against that attitude is kindness. Then the next attitude we looked at was what we called the attitude of the chameleon. And the fruit of the Spirit that helped us come against that attitude was goodness. Next was the attitude of this escape artist. And the fruit of the Spirit that helped us come against that attitude is faithfulness. And then then last week we talked about the attitude of the power broker. And the fruit of the Spirit that helps us come against that attitude is gentleness. And I would just encourage you, if you've missed any of those over the last several weeks, I would encourage you to go and to listen or watch them online. As I took time to highlight each of these attitudes and how we can use the specific aspects of the fruit of the Spirit to come against these attitudes and to find victory over them. And so if you missed them, go check them out, especially if I read off some of those things and you're like, oh, that's me. Maybe I should listen to that. I would just encourage you to go back and listen to them online. Well, this week we're going to wrap things up as we talk about the last deadly attitude, which we call the attitude of the runaway truck. Now, this is the attitude that believes having things their way is everything. And the interesting thing is our world often tells us that that's exactly what we deserve, right? We deserve to have things our way, as if it's our right or our freedom to have things the way we want them. Now, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, you might remember that this is what Burger King used to always tell us, right? Any of you remember the old Burger King slogan? Have it your way, right? That was the slogan of Burger King. In the mid-70s, Burger King came out with this as their slogan, as they promoted this idea of ordering your burger your way. And this is what the world has been telling us ever since, right? But here's the problem with this attitude of having it our way. The attitude of the runaway truck does or even takes what they want without considering the consequences or how it might affect those around us. And this attitude often pushes people aside or even runs people over if they get in the way of us having it our way. And they often view their emotions as needs or even as commands that they must carry out. I must do this. I have this desire. I have to get it done. I have to take care of it. And they can get so caught up in the moment of what they want or desire that they begin to lose control of their own thoughts or desires. They often say things like, well, I just couldn't help myself. Or, I have no idea what came over me. Right? Any of you ever used that? Or they blame others by saying things like, well, I was just mimicking what I was taught. Or, well, that's how I was raised. I can't help it. Right? You see, the runaway truck's mentality is that other people should change because they can't help their emotions and desires. It's a toxic attitude that, like many of the other attitudes we've talked about, will ultimately alienate us as we push others away with our selfish desires and our lack of compassion for others. And so this raises the question, how do we overcome this attitude of the runaway truck? Well, the fruit of the Spirit that I think helps us come against this deadly attitude is self-control. Self-control. Any of you ever watched The Music Machine? Do you remember that growing up? There was the old music machine, you know, and they had the different walking through. Self-control is just controlling myself. It's listening to my heart and doing what. You guys remember that? Am I the only one? Okay, anyways. Once I had a knot in my shoe, but it would not come loose. I tried and tried and tried and tried, but it would not. I got so mad I kicked the door. I stubbed my little toe. Oh, if only I had learned a little bit of self-control. No? I guess, you know. Agape Land? Nobody listened to those things growing up? Self-control. Well, here's the question. What is self-control? This is my definition for self-control. It's getting two marshmallows instead of one. Okay? Now, most of you are looking at me going, what in the world is he talking about? Let me explain. I came across this article on the internet, and it talked about something called the marshmallow test. Now, the marshmallow test, it got its name from an experiment that happened at Stanford University in the 1960s, where they tested four-year-old preschool kids, right? Researchers would bring these four-year-olds into a room one at a time and would tell them, show them this marshmallow and say, you can have one marshmallow right now, and they'd place it in front of them. But then they say, but if you can wait while I leave the room for about 10 or 15 minutes, when I get back, you can have two marshmallows. It was designed to test these kids' self-control. The researchers, led by psychologist Walter Mischel, found that only 30% of more than 600 children tested could hold out for the second marshmallow, which means 70% had no self-control. They couldn't wait, which in my opinion, for a four-year-old, that's pretty good. I would have expected maybe 5% of four-year-olds to be able to wait, right? I'm sure most adults couldn't wait for the second marshmallow, all right? So four-year-olds. But self-control is the ability to wait for the second marshmallow. It's having the ability to keep our emotions and desires in check. Now, I'm guessing most of us have difficulty or have had difficulty with self-control, at least at some time or in certain areas of our lives. Whether that be, addictions, weaknesses, food, anger, anxiety, fear, lust, the need to control others, gossip, the list goes on and on. You fill in the blanks, right? But here's the thing, how we deal with these things can make all the difference in the world. Do we respond with the mentality of the runaway truck that says, well, I just can't help myself? It's just who I am. Or do we believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome and actually control these things in our lives? Where are the areas in our life that we lack self-control? Because we can't just laugh it off anymore, right? We can't just make excuses. The reality is we have to deal with it. We have to seek to see the fruit of self-control begin to grow in our lives. And so the question then is, how do we see self-control actually grow in our lives? And first of all, I think we have to realize that the word self-control is a horrible definition of itself, okay? Because it's not really self-control. Because self, us, me, and you, right? We are sinful in nature, and our own desire tends to default to the things of the flesh. But when we give up our self and allow the Holy Spirit to take control, we give Holy Spirit control, which to me is a better name here because it's not as much self-control as it is Holy Spirit control. When we do that, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us keep our emotions and desires in check. You see, the Bible doesn't talk very much about self-control. It talks a lot about being controlled by the Holy Spirit, right? By giving up our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can flip them over to Romans chapter 8. I want to share just a couple more verses with you this morning that I think will help us dive a little deeper into this idea of Holy Spirit control. Self-control that happens because of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, I want to read to you this morning. This is what it says. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. And let me stop there real quick for a moment, because this is a picture of self, right? The flesh is self seeking. It goes after what it wants. It goes after its own desires. It's the runaway truck taking what it wants without care or worry of the damage that it's causing. But if you continue on here, Paul in the second part of verse 5 says this, "But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." This is the Holy Spirit control that I'm talking about. It's living in a way that allows the Holy Spirit control of our life, where we give God control of our lives. It's allowing the Holy Spirit then to help us overcome the emotions and desires of the flesh, because we can't do it on our own. And then in verse 6 it says this, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." You see, the runaway truck, it's on a path of destruction. Sooner or later it's going to crash and burn. But the person who allows the Spirit to teach them how to walk in self-control, that Holy Spirit control, will experience life and peace in their life. That is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. It's learning to give the Spirit control of our lives, giving God control of our life. It's learning to feed the dog of the Spirit, going with our series and what we've been talking about. I want to finish up our series today with three quick things that it will require for us to see His fruit, all of His fruit. Because over this last 10 weeks, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about each one. But I want to finish by saying three quick things that will be required of us to see all of His fruit developed in our lives. And so number one, we must live with the awareness of Christ's presence. And I'll say that again because we don't have it to go up on the screen. We must live with the awareness of Christ's presence. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives in us. And Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in John 14:26. As our helper. Let me read that scripture to you this morning. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And so the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help guide us and direct us in this thing called life. And we have to be aware of His presence, because sometimes we just live life and forget the fact that we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to be our strength in the midst of this fallen, broken world. And so we have to be aware of His presence and allow it to help us in the way that God intended for it to help us. And so number one, we must live in the awareness of Christ's presence. And number two, we must embrace the reality of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. You see, God has given us His Spirit, and the reality is His Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is all of these things. And since these are all a part of the Holy Spirit, and since we as Christians have His Spirit in us, we have everything we need to see His fruit developed in our life, and we have to embrace the reality of that truth. And then it goes on to just a matter of doing the third thing, which is this. We must then choose to live out the qualities of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me say that again. We must choose to live out. We must choose love. We must choose joy. We must choose these things. It's what we've been talking about this whole series. It's feeding the dog of the Spirit, feeding the things of the Lord instead of the things of the flesh. It's choosing to walk in the way of God. When we choose to act on the basis of the Holy Spirit, we're not just thinking positively, right, and trying to force something into existence. No, Christ in us. He is in us. His Spirit is in us. It's drawing on the reality of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We're stirring up the things of the Spirit in our lives so that we can become people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And that self-control that comes from God, right? Where it's really the Holy Spirit control in our lives. This is God's desire for our lives. I believe it's why He's walked us through the fruit of the Spirit. Because He doesn't want us just to overlook these things. He wants us to be these things. As Christians, this is what should be coming out of us, right? Not hate, but love, right? Not this, oh, woe is me, but God's joy, God's blessing upon my life. These things are what He wants from us. It's His desire for our lives. And if we can live with the awareness of Christ's presence, if we can embrace the reality of the fruit that He has given us in our lives and choose to feed the dog of the Spirit, then we will begin to see His fruit developed in our lives. And isn't that what it's all about? Amen? Let me finish in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Galatians 5 and Paul's message to us on the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, this fruit that is who You are, Lord. You are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all a part of who You are. And Lord, we want to learn how to make them a part of who we are. And it's a matter of us learning to feed the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh. It's a matter of choosing to walk in the ways of You instead of the ways of the world. And so, Lord, we just want to give You our lives this morning. We want to give You just this series, this message, Lord, all that You've been speaking to us. Lord, may we grab hold of these things, Lord. We've talked about these 10 deadly attitudes. And Lord, I know many of us, I know as we walked through them, I could say, oh, I see some of me there. Oh, I see some of me there. But that's not what I want to see. I want to see the things of You, Lord. I want to see the fruit of Your Spirit evident in my life. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us that You help us to be people who seek to choose You, to allow Your Spirit to move in us, where we are being transformed from the inside out, living the lives that You've called us to live so that we can be Your lights to this world, Lord, so that we can be people who help see Your kingdom extended because of the love that You've given us, the joy, the peace that comes out of our life. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the messages that You continue to challenge us and speak to us. And we just want to continue to give it all to You, Lord. Our desire is to grow in You. Our desire is to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be. Help us to do that. We can't do it on our own. We have to rely upon the power of the Spirit. So help us to continue to rely upon Your Spirit, Lord. We thank You for these things. We give You this word. May You allow it just to speak to each of us where we're at today. What is it that You want to speak to us this morning, Lord? We give it to You. We thank You. We praise You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.